Well-Tempered Baroque is a production of the Classical Network. Funding for this program comes from listener members like you. Please become a member at wwfm.org to support this show and our other great programming. Thank you. This is Dr. Lewis Barretts, and this is Well-Tempered Baroque. Boy Meets Girl, Boy Loses Girl is a storyline many thousands of years old. There are many twists to the story, of course. In some cases, boy meets new girl. In science fiction, boy makes new girl. Or in horror, girl comes back and doesn't always go so well. But in the ancient Greek version, boy goes down to the underworld itself to try to reclaim girl. But his doubt gets in the way and he loses girl forever. The name Orpheus is first mentioned on a 6th century BC fragment. In some accounts, Orpheus is semi-divine. He's the son of a Thracian king and Calliope, the muse of epic poetry. In others, he's the son of the god Apollo. A more senior god, Hermes, invented the lyre, but Orpheus perfected it through his playing. His music tamed the wild beasts, commanded the birds, charmed trees and rocks to dance, and moved the rivers. He could also calm people, teach cannibals to eat fruit instead of fellow humans. Orpheus lived among humans, and for the most part, he was mortal. According to some authors, he traveled with Jason, and without him, all would have perished before the sirens. Indeed, he could persuade the gods through his song. At the very least, he was an extremely privileged mortal. His soulmate was Eurydice. Great festivities were held, and the couple prepared for their wedding separately among their peoples. Eurydice, also known in Italian Baroque opera as Eurydice, is walking among the grasses when a satyr, or according to some stories, the shepherd Aristeus, comes after her. She tries to run away, and she falls into a viper's nest and is bitten. Orpheus's joy is suddenly turned to the greatest of pain. In tears, he plays a doleful song that even causes the gods to weep. He's told by the nymphs and other non-mortals to travel all the way to the underworld, first to persuade Charon to ferry him while he still breathes to that horrible place, and there to plead his case through song to Hades and to Persephone themselves. Persephone, queen of the underworld, encourages her husband, Hades, Pluto in most of the 17th and 18th century music dramas, to release Eurydice. Hades permits this under one condition, that Orpheus himself guides her back to the world of daylight, but he must never look back. But the mortal streak in him is so full of worry and angst and mistrust that he turns back to look at her, and at that instant the shades whisk her away back to eternal darkness. Now, this tale has several elements that were attractive to composers of the Baroque era. First, it concerned an ancient hero with a flawless character. Great for what they thought was the recreation of Greek drama, perfect for early Baroque music. Second, a great musician, the best who ever was, who could literally move heaven and earth through his song. Third, a magical mystery tour to a very strange place, literally to hell and back. And not the least, a great and tragic love tale of devotion and loss. We, of course, have very famous operas on the Orpheus legend, including the ones by Monteverdi and Luigi Rossi. French composers of the Baroque era also found this secular tale of love too attractive to resist, and thus it was the subject of several French chamber cantatas. Marc-Antoine Champantier, one of the most influential French composers of the second half of the 17th century, wrote both a cantata and a short opera on the subject. His cantata scored for three male voices. It's laden with dark pathos, the desperation of Orpheus as he attempts to rescue his beloved, literally from the depths of Hades. This is Il Seminario Musicale, Gerard Lane, countertenor and director, with Cyril Ovite tenor and Edwin Crossley Mercer bass.
Thank you. tous mes tourments accalmés
dans rigueur.
D'où vient je soupir et au fond de mon cœur de mes jeunes amours la flamme seule.
Cherchons plus.
We heard the remarkably beautiful cantata Orphée descendant aux enfers, performed by Il Seminario Musicale, Gerard Lane, countertenor and director. Our next representative of the generation of French composers to set the Orpheus legend is organist-composer Louis-Nicolas Clairembault. His Orphée appeared in his first book of cantatas in 1710. Clairembault used different key colors and national music forms to depict the narration and Orpheus's moods. The recitatives are the narration, while the arias are sung in the first person. This is soprano Sunhei Im with the Academy for Alte Musik Berlin.
Grâce. Thank you. Thank you.
That was soprano Sonhei Im with the Academy für Alte Musik Berlin in a recording of the Orphée of Louis-Nicolas Clerambault. Jean-Philippe Rameau was one of the foremost composers during the age of Louis XV. Rameau excelled as a composer of chamber music and keyboard music and sacred music and opera, and he was a music theorist. But prior to turning his attention to opera, Rameau wrote six cantatas. These were written during his early years at Dijon or perhaps during his first few years in Paris. Orphée dates from before 1721. We again hear soprano Sonhei Im with the Academy für Alte Musik Berlin.
Thank you. Thank you. Amore,
soprano Sonhei Im with the Academie für Alte Musik Berlin in a recording of Jean-Philippe Rameau's solo cantata Orphée. Indeed, a splendid entertainment for the privileged class and the social set of the Parisian salons of the 1710s, 20s, and 30s. If you enjoyed my selections, please visit Well-Tempered Baroque on Facebook and let me know. Consider becoming a donor or a member of the Classical Network. You can visit us on the web at wwfm.org for more information. I'm Dr. Lewis Barrett. Have a great week.